He says something. He's like, it's not what your couch said. And there's...
Yeah. That's not what your couch said. All right. Well, I think I just found the clip to put into the beginning of this podcast.
I like the 9/11 one.
I'm not doing that. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Blue Sedition Podcast. I'm Nate Brady. He's Mike Smith. I think you're getting to know us.
I'm Mike Smith.
I'm Mike Smith. You're Mike Smith.
I'm Mike Smith.
Okay. I almost messed that up. Classic lib. You know, doesn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
What's going on today? How you doing?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
Trying to stay up to date. The normal news cycle is so insane.
Yeah, yesterday was the longest week I think I've ever lived.
Yeah, yesterday was a very long week. Particularly the hours between 12 and 4 were one of the longest weeks ever. There's some big news, I guess, that we can talk about. Let's do it. I'm gonna hit you. Ken Klippenstein, you know about him? You heard about him? You know the guy. Oh, he's sighing. You guys can't see it right now, but his head is down. He's shaking his head. Oh God, this guy. He got suspended on the X platform.
What was he doing? He violated a rule or something?
He wasn't. If you say anything about Nazis, you're fine. If you use racial slurs, nope, that won't get you suspended either.
He was doing the racial slurs.
No, those things do not get you suspended. What he did do was share the stolen J.D. Vance dossier. You know about that?
J.D. Vance, I know about.
You know about
dossier, it's like a collection of pages.
It's a collection of pages. So it's a little research document, just a little research document that the Trump campaign put together in February of this year, earlier in February of this year. And it is a collection of insights, public statements, a little bit of private research into J.D. Vance's past and his political affiliations and the things that he said about Donald Trump, particularly.
Is this the red team that they did? Like they're you know, vetting him for the position of VP? Is this like their internal, this is what we found and here's the pros and cons for picking him type doc?
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. This is.
How did they get that? How did Ken get that of all people?
Well, we don't know yet. Actually, what we're hearing, right, from Trust Me Bro sources is that Iranian hackers who also have several assassination teams in the United States hunting Trump right now, hacked his email and shared this document with several people in the Kamala campaign. So supposedly
we think Iranian agents, like government agents,
state-sponsored
stuff.
Well, and by the way, when we say we think, I don't know that we know. There was supposed to be a press conference today about some indictments surrounding
this.
Friday the 27th.
This comes out tomorrow.
I actually haven't. I've been reading the dossier because it's fascinating. And I actually don't know if we had any indictments issued today. So that's something that can we get Jamie to pull that up? Jamie, can you pull that up? Oh, we don't have a Jamie.
We don't have a Jamie.
We have to pull that up ourselves, I guess. Damn.
All right. Okay.
And surprisingly, you know, I'm just like you. We're just constantly online and I haven't really seen any news about it. So let's take a quick look. Let's do J.D. Vance dossier indictments. Can we get anything on this?
All I'm getting is the Klippenstein link. And then, of course, you know, people getting crazy about him being kicked off of X, the everything app.
Okay, so we did. We have it. We have answers. On September 27th, 2024, the Justice Department unsealed criminal charges against three Iranian operatives suspected of hacking the Trump campaign. So the key points are there were three hackers employed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard. They allegedly sought to compromise email accounts of various U.S. officials and journalists, and they've been doing that since 2020. They aimed to steal and distribute sensitive campaign documents, and U.S. officials have linked Iran to hacks to both the Trump and the Biden and Harris campaigns.
Sounds like more like spear phishing techniques or something, like trying to get their passwords or something. And they just get an email and grab everything they can, a smash and grab of the electronic variety.
Yeah, but I think it's important to note that, especially you'll see the discourse, you know, on Twitter, that it's, oh my God, I can't, they're doing this to Trump. They don't want Trump to win. It's not just Trump. But what it does sound like is that Trump's team's always the easiest to break into, right?
That's because Trump's password is password.
Well, I mean, Trump's password was famously stolen in 2016, where it was like MAGA 2016 for Twitter. Like somebody hacked his Twitter.
Oh,
and it was, yeah. So
I don't think I knew that. That's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, he's just apparently easier. So it was not just targeting, they were not just targeting the Trump campaign, to make that clear. They're targeting journalists, the Biden-Harris campaign, but man, they always seem to get into the Trump stuff.
Well, now let's take a step back here.
Okay,
I mean,
sure.
I know that argument's going to get thrown around a lot,
right?
Especially, you know, from the right mainly, but they're going to say things like, "Well, they want him to win," and blah blah blah, and but all this stuff now is out there, and it reminds me quite a bit of the hacked Hillary Clinton emails during the run up to the 2016 election. And, you know, the Democrats made the same appeal to reason there, where they were saying, like, we shouldn't be running with this stuff, this private stuff. It's illegal for you to have it. And all of a sudden, nobody cared. Nobody gives a shit. And the Trump campaign just ran any nonsense they could find in her emails. And, you know, I remember everybody digging through those things. This was, of course, before ChatGPT could search it all for you, but you know, just doing finds in the giant PDF dumps, you'd be like looking for any key terms, anything that could lead to something. And I suspect this is going to be sort of the same thing. I'm actually interested in seeing what else they find outside of this JD Vance red team document dossier, because I mean, that's I sort of we're going to dig into this in a minute, but I sort of suspect it's not going to reveal anything, you know, earth shattering to us. We know who JD Vance is as a person, as a politician, and what he stands for, which is basically nothing.
Right.
And so I don't think that I'm going to be completely shocked by any of these revelations. And I don't think that anybody listening to this will either. But, you know, if they found this and they released it to Ken Klippenstein, just what else have they got? I wonder. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. If they have one of these items, especially like if this was in somebody's mailbox, oh man, imagine what else was in there. But
well,
so
I wonder as well, you know, this is completely tangential, obviously, but you know, New York City Mayor Eric Adams recently, I think yesterday, indicted. We know that the indictment was coming and it landed, but it's still sealed. But we have some idea that it was all about, you know, getting access to either his emails or recipients that he was communicating with, emails and chats and text messages. And eventually the government mounting a case of, I think it's going to be bribery, but we don't know until the court case is unsealed. I'm sorry, the indictment's unsealed. And so I wonder if this is, you know, the first pebble to fall out of the dam. It's going to be JD Vance. Here's a bunch of noise to keep everybody busy. We handed all this other stuff to the DOJ, and I wonder if there's just going to be anything there, because getting into Trump's email, you can imagine him just very easily agreeing to things that are just plainly, you know, illegal or illicit in nature at the very least.
Yeah, and by the way, the Eric Adams indictment was unsealed yesterday.
Yeah,
he kind of cut it off. He was like, listen, this is basically a summary of what his press conference was. Listen, you guys are going to hear some things about me, and I just want you to know it's not true. But of course, it's all true. They unsealed indictment includes bribery, conspiracy, campaign finance violations, and wire fraud. So,
are you sure that's not the Bibby the P. Diddy indictment?
No, his is more his is all of those things plus all of like racketeering, sex trafficking, some other things. But no, this was the Eric Adams. I mean, you could have also said, are you sure that wasn't the Clarence Thomas indictment unsealed? But no, it turns out there is no indictment there.
You're allowed to break laws if you're a Supreme Court justice.
Exactly. So, wow, we could go off and talk about any of those items for probably an hour, but I want to come back to the Vance dossier, because though you are right, nothing in here was really earth-shattering. I think it might be earth-shattering to some of those Trump supporters, some of those MAGAs that don't know how to read or were just basically unaware of anything that's happened prior to J.D. Vance becoming Trump's VP pick. I want to talk a little bit about those things and what they were, but also ask you know, if you had this information in February, would you have then gone on in July to pick this guy as your running mate? You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I think that let's put, it's hard, but I'm going to try and put myself into Donald Trump's shoes.
Okay.
Not one of his campaigns later. Or yeah, staffers okay. or anybody. I'm going to try and be Trump.
Okay? Sure.
None of this matters. Facts don't matter.
Right.
And I am the second coming of Christ.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter who we pick, as long as he yells, Donald Trump is the second coming of Christ at every rally.
But you have evidence of him doing the exact opposite of that. So how bad were the other candidates when you picked the guy that is like, Donald Trump is the second coming of Satan versus, you know, the second coming of Christ? I mean, he hated the guy. He was a never Trumper. Sure. He, you know, so how do you end up picking that guy?
I don't know. It is interesting because it harkens back, obviously, you know, we're older, so we remember such things, but it harkens back to like the McCain pick of Palin to me.
Oh yeah.
I remember at the time going, McCain is the last vestige of what I can even remotely call, you know, a moderate Republican, like somebody who's closer to the middle, but still,
I'd say Mitt Romney is
Mitt Romney, sure, but you know, he's not still alive anymore. So
yeah.
But McCain, obviously, at the time had won the primary. He's running against Obama in 08. Was it 08? Maybe it was 12. I don't remember.
Romney was one, and then McCain was the other one.
Anyway. And there are a ton of picks at the time who are not rock stars or anything, but doing well in the Republican Party, and especially on the national stage. And he picks Sarah Palin just sort of out of nowhere. And I remember thinking at the time, like, what on earth are you doing?
A woman. A crazy woman.
Okay. Picking a woman was the only part of that that I understood.
Right.
Because he was like, I'm running against this black either president or candidate. And he's running on this ticket. He's got the old guy as his VP. I need to sort of counter that balance by bringing in another non-old white guy, you know, to try and balance out this campaign. And picking a woman would have been fine, but Sarah Palin just is dumb as a stump and couldn't campaign, couldn't speak well.
You needed to pick up the 3 points from Alaska, you know, the three electoral from the very red Alaska.
All right.
And that was for those that are yelling at us through their, you know, their phones or where, however you're listening to us.
Put a comment down there. Let us know who you ran against and what year.
It was 2012 was Mitt Romney, so it was 2008. That was
okay. I do remember some things.
So,
but getting back to J.D. Vance, you say you get this red report, the red team report, excuse me, from the dossier, and you're reading all these negative things about him. I mean, that's what they're for. You pay these people to find every single, you know, leave no stone unturned.
Right.
I need to know how many hookers he's killed. Right. How many of them were men.
Right.
How many, you know, how much drugs does he do?
Yeah.
So when you look at the field, I just pulled this up. The short list, J.D. Vance in first place, obviously,
right,
looking back. But then you got Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota.
Okay.
Marco Rubio, who we're all familiar with,
right,
in Florida. Tim Scott, South Carolina, excuse me. And then the list gets more and more ridiculous. Like, number seven on the short list was Ben Carson, apparently.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Everybody remembers Ben Carson fondly because of his story about attempting to kill his own mother with a hammer.
Yeah.
And then them interviewing his mother and telling everybody that that was a lie. And then like Tom Cotton and Vivek Ramaswamy. And I thought Vivek would have been higher on the list, honestly, because he was campaigning hard before, you know, they all settled on Trump again. But I mean, I don't know why you would pick Vance. What does he bring to the table?
I mean, so let's talk about some of the things that he has said. And I want to say a lot of this is public information. We could have found all of this, but they did a great job of putting it in a nice, neat little package for us. And a lot of it we have known. I think as soon as he made the pick, you know, things went viral of Vance saying how much he hated Trump and et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk about a couple of things. He once compared Trump to heroin and mocked MAGA as just being a quick high. Okay. So that's something that he said in here.
I hope that's true. Not that he said it. I just hope that it's a quick high and it goes away after a while.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you hope they all OD and die. I was going to say, you can't say that, man. You cannot.
Earning that explicit rating.
No, you cannot.
Look at this guy.
You can't. Well, I'm telling you, you can't say those things.
Oh, you're warning me. Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you can't say that. He previously heaped praise on Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders. J.D. Vance was like, that Bernie Sanders guy, actually, he makes a lot of sense. So, you know, we think he's an undercover socialist, probably. He's criticized every Republican who was working to repeal and replace Obamacare. He basically sided with Democrats on this. He's like,
or at the very least, McCain is the vote that undid it.
At the very, what have you got? What are you replacing it with? What's your plan? And by the way, now J.D. Vance is on the ticket that still has no plan.
Right.
It's coming out in 2 weeks, though. I hear the healthcare plan is coming out in 2 weeks.
I don't know what's a better bet, putting money on that or putting money on Donald Trump media. It's better.
You're not going to want to do that. he has claimed, this is under the foreign policy section. He once claimed that Chinese nationals were more patriotic than U.S. nationals. So this was on.
What's the context there? I mean, is he speaking to like a group of Chinese nationals? So he's trying to play up to them.
He was on Tucker Carlson, and Tucker.
Well, that's a no.
Yeah. and Vance, here's the direct quote from Vance. It's on, if you're following along at home, it's on page 130 of the dossier that I definitely don't have downloaded and am reading right now. He says, Carlson says, right, and they know that we're so self-hating and they can control us, they can bully us into submission, but the Chinese don't hate themselves, do they? And Vance says, no, they don't, Tucker. And that's one of the craziest things about China, is whether it's Chinese nationals who are living overseas in America or Western Europe, or whether it's folks who maybe go on student visa and they come back, we're pretty clear is that China is very good at ensuring that its own citizens actually love the country. And I don't think there's a whole lot that's especially lovable about the Chinese nation these days, but they're very good at making their own citizens patriotic. And unfortunately, we have a country that has a lot to be, you know, we have a lot to be proud of in America, but the subtext there being Americans hate America.
Man, I dislike a lot of America, so that's fair. I get
Okay,
that.
so you agree with Vance
And
on this.
I'll point out that this one in context makes a lot more sense to me because that's just Vance's nationalism showing is it just being also just saying like that the Chinese force their citizens to love their country. I'm like, yeah, they do it with a gun. Okay. So I
And
don't
the
know if that's really what you want to tell the American people.
well, I
You're
mean,
like, you
Trump
don't
is
love your
saying it.
country enough. I'm gonna stick a gun in your face and tell you to love it hard.
I mean, how many times has Trump said it over the last even couple of days? I think he was in Michigan today, and he said he once again used his line of President Xi. Look at everyone loves him. Everyone respects him. Maybe we should be a lot more like that. But what does he mean? What does he mean by
No,
that?
he means exactly
We
what
know what
he's
he
saying.
means.
He means that he believes in authoritarianism and he thinks that if he can force people to do it his way, to love the country his way, then the ends justify the means. And he sees that obviously. This is Trump I'm talking about now. He parrots a lot of the way that people, the foreign, autocrats and well, dictators, for lack of a better word, handle their countries. Like you got Viktor Orban, you got Vladimir Putin, talks about Chinese government, the North Korean government, how they enforce this nationalism. And I mean, I'm just like, you're literally doing a bit that Hitler ran with, but you're saying different countries than he did. It's the same thing. It's
It's the
just
same
people
thing.
aren't proud enough of our country, and it's because of the foreigners and the liberals and what have you.
So he is, on top of that, we could just keep going down this list. I mean, there's a few more things here. He's been critical of Republicans for not supporting unions and union priorities, which is interesting. He's oh, where was it? I just lost it. I just lost it. Anyway, this is a fascinating read because every one of these items, I mean, this is 100 and 271 pages of this guy is not MAGA.
No, no.
He's not a fan of Trump. He's not a MAGA Republican. And now he is the, second in charge of the MAGAs.
Yeah, I mean, he would be the guy behind Trump.
So it doesn't make sense to me that Trump would pick this guy with all those other choices out there.
Yeah, I mean, of all of them on the list, I'd say Doug Burgum and Tom Cotton are the ones that I would expect to do the best Trump impressions as VP. You can imagine they win and, Trump dies of a heart attack in week one or something to that effect. And then you have these guys who are just going to do their best Trump impressions to try and rally the troops and keep on going. I don't know, JD Vance. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just, enough, doesn't care, and he has no scruples, and he just wants power. And so he can fake being a MAGA forever guy and make that work. I just don't know.
I mean, the guy has no charisma. He has the same charisma of the fly that landed on J Mike Pence's head in the debate. I mean, he has and actually, I liked that fly more than I like JD Vance. I mean, he's got nothing going for him.
And he is from Ohio.
He
Both his
is
children. He's got the Ohio Riz.
well, he's got that skibbity Ohio Riz that we hear so much about.
That's what I hear our young boys talk about all
Yeah.
the time.
So what does this mean? I mean, what does this dossier mean in your mind for the campaign going forward? This doesn't change anything, does it? Can
This
we just be
doesn't change.
realistic?
Let's lay it out, right? Because there's going to be the people on the right unswayed. There's just the MAGAs are going to go hard. They don't care. Nothing about them is going to change. The moderate Republicans, I'm hoping that they're just embarrassed enough like last time to just not vote. But I don't think we're going to sway any of them with facts either. The undecided, like the true undecideds, maybe you can make enough noise about this where it matters. But I mean, so much of what I've seen about the dossier boils down to, well, he just doesn't like Trump. He thinks Trump's a joke, and he always has, and he's not a MAGA guy. And is that enough to sway an undecided voter to be like, Trump got this guy to be his VP? I don't know. I don't think so. And then you have on the left side, you've got us, the people who are terminally online, and well, we don't care. This didn't really change anything to us. So I don't see this playing very big. If anything, I think that I worry that the right's gonna play this, boo-hoo, woe is me, we got hacked card. And because neither of them are a woman, they're gonna, get some points for that. They're gonna
It's
think
not
that,
butter, it's not butter emails.
yeah, it's gonna not be butter emails. It's gonna be, oh, my emails got hacked.
Right. Yeah, you're probably right. I would say even like major news outlets like Politico and the Washington Post and New York Times, etc., they're basically saying this isn't even newsworthy. Like
Right.
this is all public information. And much of the discussion surrounding it has been focused on, whether media outlets should even report on hacked materials. So it's like the focus is not about the content at all, but more about the process in which it was obtained.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I think that if I take myself out of, political landscape outside of just that, and I think of just absolute morality, I think that the truth being out there is better than it not being out there, regardless of how it got out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, of all the leaks we've seen over the years, I don't really ever feel like I was upset that the truth came out.
Right.
Even if it hurt our candidates or anything. Like, I remember we talked about this in one of previous episodes, but when Al Franken, his thing broke, where he was, being sexually inappropriate with,
And another SNL staffer or comedian or something.
I think it was, yeah, and then there was some photos of him doing like comedy when the military, I forget what that's called, but
The
SFO, CFO, something like that.
yeah, that thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the
Like the
overseas
Bob
thing.
Hope ta
Yeah,
style thing.
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
exactly. And see, so the pictures came out. And again, it was from somebody who like got access to his email or his phone or something, and then they leaked it. And again, he was our guy. But I'm like, I'd rather know that that our guy's a scumbag. Like, I don't feel any better with that, like living with that idea, knowing that just because I'm like, you didn't get it the right way.
So objectively, I agree with that, right? If I can take a step back and I would say, wow, that was really crappy. It only seems to ever hurt the Dems though, right? Like it's well, I guess we'll see with Mark Robinson, right? Okay, so
Right. That's actually a really good pivot because Mark Robinson, that all came out around the same time. Well, this week. This
yeah,
week has been
I
6 months long,
right.
but
Right.
and again, I think that if Mark Robinson's on the left, we've already, burned his campaign headquarters down and made him resign.
Oh yeah, they're without a
Like
doubt, right?
we run him out on a rail because we're just like, there's no room for this in the Democrat Party. Get out.
No,
And
and that's hurtful in a way, right? Obviously you got to run that guy out. But
yeah,
you lose,
but
but then you
and
immediately lose that seat. You lose that gubernatorial race.
yeah, you've given it away. You're
Yeah.
like, well, that's we lose governorship because we're just not going to run this guy. I think that we're getting, I hope that we're getting better about that. I mean, if we look at that versus, the Democratic Party as an establishment being like, okay, Joe, we like you, but come on, guy. You're too old. You can't run this race. I need you to step aside for the good of the party. Let's get Kamala up there. And then he did it, right? At the probably the best time leading up to the
Well,
convention. I
yeah.
mean, before the convention, I
Before the
mean,
convention, but arguably not enough time for there to be a choice, a more open primary, a better a better process for electing a candidate.
They did that on purpose, but
well,
my point is they the establishment took an elected official who wasn't going to do well, I don't think, and they said, we need you to do the right thing and walk away. And that takes a certain amount of humility, you know, some sense of hubris, some sense of putting your pride aside. And I just don't see anyone on the right doing that, because again, they have no scruples. Robinson's still fighting this whole thing like, oh, I'm being attacked and blah, blah, blah. This is all lies. And then you're like, but all of your campaign staff resigned and you have no more like billboards anywhere. And the GOP doesn't want to back you.
They don't want to put your signs like, up in their local offices. And
You may not walk away, but you're not going to win. Like,
yeah. Come on. Well, man, we'll see. But, you know, so to wrap up here, to at least wrap up this whole J.D. Vance thing, he is still polling, at least, as one of the least favorable VP picks ever, which is surprising, considering some of the ones that we've seen recently. But, man, I cannot imagine a worse choice.
Where are you getting your polling numbers?
Oh, let's. Well, okay, all right. Well, listen, I'm going.
You're doing like iPicket or.
I'm going off of memory here a little bit of an article that I read in Business Insider.
I only asked because I was curious to see how Kamala shaped up in the run up to 2020 as the VP pick. I have to imagine she fired up a lot of the Democratic base as pick for Biden, right? As compared to J.D. Vance.
It's hard to say. I thought it was an awful pick.
Well, we're from California, so we knew that it was an awful pick. But
well, not even just being from California, like from a whole electoral, you know, when you have Whitmer,
you didn't think it pushed the right buttons,
right? So I mean, you have a strong woman from Michigan, governor of Michigan, very, very liked in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wanted, was it Gretchen?
Yeah, Gretchen Whitmer. And
we wanted
Stacey Abrams.
Agree that there were a lot of better female picks. I just don't know that it would have mattered picking amongst them. Maybe you would have gotten more of Georgia with Stacey Abrams. I don't know.
Okay, so I do have right now, right in front of me, though, at least, I have the favorable, unfavorable polling for J.D. Vance. And I'll go ahead. We'll do what I like to do and play the guessing game. So this is for the month of September. This is 9/3 to 9/24 aggregate.
Okay. So I got 3 weeks to go. Okay.
Okay, this is the aggregate polling. This is across The Economist, Quinnipiac, CNN, Fox News. What is his favorability rating? What's his favorability number?
His. Yes. I'm going to say 41.
It is 35.8.
Oh, my
God. That is really low. That is – Fox News has him at 38.
I was going to say, you have an outlier in there completely skewing the curve.
No, it's all pretty – okay, NBC 32, CNN 30, but right. Fox News 38, you know, Yahoo News 38, Gallup 36.
I thought I was being brutal with my 41, and I should have gotten more brutal.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, and it's started really, really bad. I mean, ABC News in July had him at 24. You know, that's why I say I think one of the worst.
Okay, in that same period, what's he trending?
See, I can't get that view up.
Oh, you can't get that. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I wonder. I mean, he obviously came out the gate just stumbling. He had the whole internet couch debacle to deal with, and then he just had a lot of ops that weren't good. He would show up at shops and he would try and speak English to people, and it seemed like he didn't speak that as his first language.
I can tell you, I can scroll back to July 13th ish, which is when he was chosen, where it was 24, 27, 25.
Okay.
And so pretty bad. But he had some 40s and 38s. It looks like it's pretty unchanged. It looks like he's just been pretty unfavorable.
So he's just unlikable.
I mean, he's not charismatic.
I think The one thing that I'll say is that unfortunately for him, Trump's better at this. I hate to, say you got to give it to him, but Trump won't talk policies. He'll say things like, "Oh, we're going to make it better. We're gonna, it's so
Right,
terrible
of
right now,"
course.
blah blah
Yeah,
blah. He doesn't say anything. He
right.
just he speaks to the warmth or coldness of things.
Right.
J.D. Vance comes out there and he's like, "We're going to pass everything in Project 2025," and everybody starts booing him. And I'm like, there's got to be somebody on the staff who's like, "Shut up. Just don't say that. Say
When
something else. Let's talk about how great America is or how great it could be if we had the right vice president." And like, I don't
I
understand
don't.
who these people hire for campaign staffers to prep them, because J.D. Vance is not good at this.
He's not good. And just to give you some more context here, those same polls, Quinnipiac, which I think a lot of Republicans like to point to when things are going well, and
Yeah.
Fox News.
Usually it's like Rasmussen or
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Exactly.
Or you
Those
say,
same
how do you say it?
polls,
I call it Quinnipiac or
I call it
Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac. I have no idea how to say it. I've only ever read it. Somebody can correct us. Please put
Yeah,
the
put it in the comments.
put the pronunciation guide in the
Yeah, and use small connections phonetically, because I
please,
can't. Come
please
on.
spell it out for us like we're 5 year olds.
Please.
Those same in the same month. The same week for those polls,
Yeah.
Kamala Harris's favorability rating on those two polls that I just talked to, where it was
I'm gonna say 46.
you very, very
'Cause
40, 48 for Fox News, 47 for Quinnipiac. So yeah, you're right
there you
there.
go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I
I was
mean,
gonna say getting over 50 is sort of unheard of
oh
in the
yeah,
common era.
it's impossible. And I will say though that Harris on average is trending about 4 or 5 points higher than Trump's favorability rating and higher than his at all of the on all of those polls, Fox News,
Okay.
Quinnipiac, which is really, really
I realize we're doing like apples to oranges now. Do we have walls? Can we take a look at
Oh
walls?
yeah, let's do it.
Because
Yeah,
I'm like, we're
that's a
talking about
good
VPs, and we keep thinking, because it's been 4 years that
Yeah.
Kamala is the VP, but no, she's running for president.
So
We need to look at.
his is t shockingly low to me. I'm actually very, very shocked by this.
Okay.
He came out at with very, very low favorability numbers as well with Rasmussen and the Economist and Fox
Yeah.
News. Oh, actually, yeah, he came out around 40 and he stayed around 40.
Okay.
So I mean,
I
I think,
wonder.
like you said, it's just hard to hit those. The difference with this though, with Waltz versus Vance, is that his favorability number at 40 is still higher than his unfavorability number because there's a lot of no comments, undecided,
Okay.
neutral, right? But
Yeah.
his favorable has always been fairly stronger than his unfavorable. Where Vance, it's the exact opposite. His unfavorable is always stronger than his favorable numbers.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so his dossier was leaked. We have the vice presidential candidate debates coming up on I want to say October 2nd or 3rd. Does that sound
Oh
right?
yeah, that's coming up actually. When is that?
I think it's next week.
Is it a Thursday? It might be the
It's
third because I thought it was a Thursday, but I could be wrong.
okay. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays as fodder, given that it'll still be in the news cycle by the time that I think this VP debate's going on.
Oh yeah, it's Tuesday, by the way. It's Tuesday at six
It's
o'clock.
Tuesday,
Yeah, P
okay.
Pacific time. Yeah, so that's
So
exciting.
look forward to us talking about it on the Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll
We'll
definitely
get on
have
there
a
and have an episode to talk about that.
yeah, I mean, our first podcast, I think our first episode was the
Who's
day
following the
after the presidential debate.
presidential debates?
Yeah,
That's right.
that's
It was
great.
on 9/11.
It was on 9/11. That was not planned. You can't get me to admit that I planned that. You can't get, I just said you can't get me to admit I planned 9/11. That's
I
what
did.
you could clip that. No,
Yeah.
that's terrible.
Yeah.
I think this is a good place to end the episode. You know, normally I like to talk about a couple things, but we did. But
We did. I think that I want to think about it for the coming week. I want to talk later, but I want to think about how is this dossier going to affect, will it affect the vice presidential debate? I'm sure that
it'll come
Kamala's
up.
team or Tim Walz's team are gonna prep, they're gonna prep to the teeth just to have something there where, you know, they'll respond to a question that's hard to answer with, well, you know, J.D. Vance 4 years ago thought that Trump was an idiot who couldn't be held, you know, who shouldn't hold the reins of power. Why should anybody believe that that's changed? Why should we listen to a flip-flopper, et cetera?
I hope Laura Loomer is still on the debate prep team for
I hope she gets, she sinks her fingernails into Vance.
Yeah.
Somehow making him worse.
So I will ask you this one silly question before we go. Mm-hmm. ABC or CBS News is saying that their mics for the VP debate won't be muted. Do you think who do you think that benefits and why?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think in the VP debates, it's going to matter less. In the few interactions I've seen with Vance, in like news settings where he's being interviewed or just doing one-on-ones or face-to-faces with just anchors and what have you, he doesn't railroad nearly as hard as Trump does. So I don't think that there's a situation where Tim Walz will start saying something and J.D. Vance will just overpower him. Right. Or even
vice versa. I don't think he. Oh, I think the reverse might be true. So my answer to that is Walz will.
I think Walz probably gets a little bit of a nod there because J.D. Vance is going to say something, and Walz has this history that the public seems to like of him just being kind of snarky.
Yes,
so I can imagine him just getting two words in. He says something, he's like, "It's not what your couch said," and there's
that's not what your couch said. All right. Well, I think I just found the clip to put into the beginning of this podcast.
I like the 9/11 one.
I'm not doing that. Okay. We've clearly been on for too long. It's Friday afternoon. Hopefully everybody out there can go enjoy their weekend, despite it feeling like, you know, this is pretty much the end of the United States.
We're in the end times.
We're in the end times.
But since it's all coming to an end anyway, you know, give us the thumbs up. Follow and like us on all the social media platforms. Share us with your friends.
Put us in your top eight.
And, you know, shoot us any questions you got on any of those social medias. We'll enter them on stream.
Yeah.
We'll go live.
I think that's actually a good thing. Let's plan for a podcast where we're just answering viewer questions. That would be really great. That'd be a fun one. Okay. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining me again. I think we'll hopefully be back soon. If not, at the latest, we'll be back next Wednesday for the post-VP debate show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.